You're listening to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel. Good morning. Today we are going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, about the spiritual gifts.
Now I want to read you 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in the New Living Translation. The title here is Spiritual Gifts. And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one is able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit who's the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord that we're serving. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice, which is the gift of the word of wisdom. To another, He gives the gift of special knowledge, which is the gift of the word of knowledge. And then the Spirit gives special faith to another, which is the gift of faith. And to someone else, He gives the power to heal the sick, which is the gift of healing. And He gives one person the power to perform miracles, which is the gift of the working of miracles. Now, I'm paraphrasing here to tell you what these gifts are. And to another, the ability to prophesy, which is the gift of prophecy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it's really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking. That's the gift of discerning of spirits. And still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, which is the gift of tongues. And another is given the ability to interpret what is being said, which is the gift of interpretation of tongues. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. The words of the lesson today are going to be taken from several different authors because their insight into the gifts is far greater than anything that I could do. So keep in mind that these are not my words, they are someone else's, and we want to give them credit.
Paul mentions 9 spiritual gifts. We covered the gift of the word of wisdom last week, and the word of knowledge and discerning of spirits. The gift of the word of knowledge is the unique ability to declare knowledge which could only be revealed supernaturally. There is a difference between the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. One may have great knowledge and even supernatural knowledge, yet have no wisdom from God in the application of that knowledge. So the word of wisdom is knowing how to apply knowledge. We talked about discerning of spirits last week, which is the ability to tell the difference between true and false doctrine, and between what is of the Holy Spirit and what isn't. We know that Satan appears as an angel of light, it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and he deceives with a false tempting message. And we know that there can be lying spirits in the mouths of prophets. And we know that some believers can even speak the words of the devil, as Peter did when he told Jesus that he did not have to go to the cross. Also, the devil will try to infiltrate the church with false teachers. So it's important to test the word of anyone who claims to speak from God, because Satan can work deceiving miracles. So we need the gift of discernment in the church today. We said the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to give us divine power to serve God. It's to edify the body of Christ and to reveal unto us what God's plan is in individual lives. The believer must have power from on high, and these gifts empower the believer to have a more productive walk in Christ. We are commanded in 1 Corinthians 1:5-7 not to lack any of these gifts. Our lesson today tells us that the gifts is for the profit of all. It's to benefit the whole church family and not just a few individuals. James 1:17 tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So it's the Father's good will to give gifts to believers. Today we want to discuss the other 6 gifts of the Spirit that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. One of the gifts is tongues. There's 3 types of the gift of tongues. There's the tongues that are unto God. There are tongues that are assigned to the unbeliever. And then there are tongues that edifies the body of Christ, the church. Let's discuss each one. The unknown tongue unto God is a mystery. 1 Corinthians 14:1-2 says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. That's a personal language of prayer given by God to the believer, where the believer can communicate with God beyond the limits of knowledge and understanding. Language is an agreement between parties where it is agreed that certain sounds represent certain objects or ideas. When using the gift of tongues, we agree with God that as the Holy Spirit prays through us, though we may not understand what we're praying, God does. You might ask, why does God give a prayer language in an unknown tongue that cannot be understood by the person praying? Well, we know that the devil listens to our prayers, and when we pray in English or whatever language we speak, he can understand it. But in an unknown tongue, he cannot understand this prayer language because it's unknown. It's a mystery, and it's used in warfare and intercession. So the believer who has the gift of tongues and speaks in an unknown tongue in his prayer life is the Holy Spirit speaking to God on our behalf or on someone else's behalf. It is a tongue of prayer and warfare. It's a language that can't be interpreted. When someone speaks in an unknown tongue, they may sound different at different times. It's spontaneous. It has different words and different sounds. When a person prays in an unknown tongue, his spirit is praying. It is the ability of the Holy Spirit to look into the spirit of man and relate to God the things that are unique to that man and the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for that person in an unknown tongue. The second kind of tongue is understood by an unbeliever. It's not unknown to the unbeliever that it's speaking to. 1 Corinthians 14:21-22 says, "In the law it is written, 'With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord.' Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe not, but prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Acts 2:4-6 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So this tongue is an audible earthly known language that's assigned to the unbeliever. There's a story told about a man who came to kill a preacher who promoted Israel, and a terrorist came into the church to kill the preacher. An elderly woman was speaking in tongues in the church. Suddenly, the woman's tongue changed to the Arabic language, and she called his name and revealed everything about his family. The man threw down the gun and went to the altar. He asked the woman in Arabic how she knew his family, and she didn't understand anything that he said because she was Swedish. That's an example of this type of tongue. My husband's cousin is a Baptist minister, and he went on a mission journey to South America, and he was with a group of men. And one of the men started talking to the natives in their language. Someone remarked later that they didn't realize that he did not know their native language. He said he didn't understand a word that he was saying, but the natives did, and many were saved because he was telling them about Jesus in their native language through this gift of tongues. Now, the third type of the gift of tongues is the tongues that edifies the body of Christ, the church. Tongues unto God is different than tongues that edify the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:5 says, "I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." So this type of gift of tongues that we're talking about here stirs up the gift of prophecy. It's a tongue that's for edification, and it's equal to prophecy. It is where someone receives a message from heaven through an unknown tongue and interprets the message. It must be done decently and in order in the church. Paul tells us that the Holy Spirit will not speak the same thing to two people at once to cause confusion. These type of messages that have interpretation are to be proved by the body of Christ. One scripture says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit to know if it's of God." So if someone prophesies, it must meet the test of the word. It will never go against the word of God. The ability to pray in an unknown tongue is not a gift given to every believer. 1 Corinthians 12:20 tells us that. Also, the ability to pray in an unknown tongue is not the only evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit. This emphasis has led people to seek the gift of tongues merely to prove to themselves and others that they really are filled with the Holy Spirit. One is filled with the Holy Spirit when he's born again. The gifts are all works of the Holy Spirit, but they are apart from the born-again experience. If someone receives a gift, it doesn't necessarily mean they are closer to God than someone who doesn't have a gift. The person who receives the gift has more responsibility, and God has blessed them with the gift, but it doesn't make one more holy than another. The gifts of the Spirit operate in the Spirit. It means one with the Spirit. Paul prays in the Spirit. Another gift is interpretation of tongues. This gift allows the gift of tongues to be of benefit for those other than the speaker, as they are able to hear and agree with the words of the one speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:3-5 says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." And 1 Corinthians 14:13 says, "Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." So this gift is given through prayer. Now let's look at which one of these three tongues that the interpretation is given. It's the third tongue, which is the one for edification of the church. The first tongue is a mystery, an unknown tongue, and no man can interpret it. It's unknown. The second tongue needs no interpretation because it's a known language. The person hears in his own language. So the only tongue that's left to be interpreted is the third tongue, which is to edify the church, and it's equal to prophecy. Prophecy is the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation, which is always in accord with his word. Now some believe that prophecy is preaching, but that's not what this means. It is used for divinely inspired speech that has a meaning of something that it foretells in the future. Prophecy is to build us up, it's to encourage us, and it's never condemning. The gift of prophecy always builds up and comforts. It's always positive and never negative. If it comes with a word of judgment, it will be also with a word of mercy. There'll be a way out. If someone comes to you with nothing but gloom and doom, it's not of God, and it's not this gift of prophecy. Because God is a God of love, and there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Prophecy always brings life. Ezekiel 37:1-14 is an example if you want to read that. It will bring vision. That's in Proverbs 29:18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." We know that God wants us all to prophesy. He wants us all to speak of things to come that is good that God is going to do. Prophecy has to be judged because it's not always right. There's a big difference between a prophet and the gift of prophecy. Why is it that in the gift of prophecy, that it's not always right? Well, in the Old Testament, one of the tests of a prophet was that if he prophesied, it came to pass. If it didn't come to pass, he was not considered a prophet. This gift of prophecy doesn't necessarily operate out of a prophet, but it's judged by the word, and it must line up by the word. If it doesn't edify, exhort, or comfort, then we should just ignore it. Then we have the gift of faith. Though faith is an essential part of every Christian's life, the gift of faith is the unique ability to trust God against all circumstances, as Peter did when he walked out of the boat and onto the water. It's the ability to have extraordinary faith in spite of terrible circumstances. It is the greatest of the power gifts. It's the God-given ability to believe Him for the impossible. The gift of faith is not the same as a general faith that each person is given a measure of. There are three types of faith in the Bible. There's the saving faith, which is in Romans 5:1, which is that measure of faith that's given to every man in order to receive salvation. Then there's the fruit of faith in Galatians 5:22, which is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Then there's the gift of faith, which is in 1 Corinthians 12, which comes for a season, for a reason. It's the instantaneous assurance of God's ability to act in a particular situation that seems impossible. It is an instantaneous knowing that God is going to answer the prayer. It comes through prayer. Faith is a substance. It's a knowing. It's something that is tangible. It's when you take the Word of God and you pray according to the Word of God and you believe that it's God's will that it comes to pass. When the gift of faith operates in our life, we will be healed. When the gift of faith works in our lives, we will see miracles. The gift of faith has 7 levels. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples approached him and said that they could not cast out a devil. And they asked Jesus why. And Jesus said that this kind goeth not out except by fasting and prayer. So fasting and prayer raises the level of faith to a higher level in order to cast out some devils that are resistant to regular faith. So the gift of faith is dependent upon prayer and fasting. Then we have the gifts of healing. That is God's healing power, and there's been many documents of the gifts of healing. Even though apostles had the gift of healing, there was times that they could not cure. For instance, Paul could not cure Timothy, nor could he remove his own thorn in the flesh. There are many people who are healed through the gifts of healing, but not all are healed. And we don't know the reasons why on many of these things. But there are gifts of healings that God bestows on those who seek Him. It comes in 2 ways, instant or gradual. A healing can be a work of restoration. It can be spiritual, emotional, or physical. There are different ways that God uses to heal. One is anointing oil in James 5:14. The laying on of hands that's mentioned in Mark 16:13. And then God heals by the spoken word, which is in Luke 7:1-10. And then the healing presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's in Mark 6:56, when the woman touched the hem of his garment, the pool of Bethesda, and even the shadow of Peter, there was healing. There can also be an impartation of healing that's transferred through an object as a cloth or apron. In the Old Testament, Elijah took his staff and he laid it on the boy and he was healed. Then there's the gifts of miracles, the gifts of working of miracles, the gifts of healing and working of miracles is in conjunction with the gift of faith. It's where the Holy Spirit overrides the laws of nature and it's creative. These miracles are always creative, while healings are not. Miracles are different. A healing is restoration, while miracles are creation. For example, if arthritis is healed or blindness is healed, that is a restoration. But if someone receives an ear that was not previously there, then that's a miracle. Miracles are the product of His spoken word. In Psalms 33:6, by the word of the Lord was the heavens made. If you've not asked the Lord for a gift of the Spirit, He wants to give you these gifts, and He instructs us to ask for them. They are to empower us to live stronger lives in the Lord. It's God's will that these gifts operate in believers' lives. So we should seek these gifts that God wants to give us, so that we may help ourselves and others. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful for Your wondrous plan and the gifts that You bestow upon us. We are thankful, Father, because they are heavenly gifts. And we thank You for all the healings. We thank You, Father, that we are always in Your care. And we thank You for these wondrous gifts. We pray, Father, that we would be worthy to receive them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
Later.